The book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 36. The book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 36. The Bible says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Praise God. The title of the message is The Waters of Salvation, Finding the Life Within. We know that from the beginning of the creation, God assigned a special role to water. Water is a great resource that covers over 70% of the earth's surface. And water is a symbol of life. It's a symbol of cleansing. It is a symbol of divine power throughout the scriptures. The significance of water stretches beyond the physical. It's not just what you see, what you feel, what you touch. Water speaks of a prophetic spiritual rebirth. Praise God. Water is the promise of renewal. Water really is somehow we are to see water as being the place of salvation. Hallelujah. If there is a place that God has chosen for our salvation, it is the water. Because the Bible says the spirit, the blood, and the water come together. Amen. New life is found in the water. A baby in the womb is surrounded by water. When the water breaks, the water is the messenger that says a new life is coming. Without water, there is no new life. So water is the herald, it's the prophet, it's the message that says a new life is coming. Hallelujah. It is for this reason that Jesus said, unless a man is born again of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3, verse 5. Unless a man is born again, praise God. That means the first birth was also in water. If you don't believe it, ask your mother. Ask a doctor. They will tell you there is no first birth without water. All of us were born through water the first time. But Jesus is saying that that water is not sufficient. That birth of in water is for the life in this world. Amen. So we all came through water into this world. So it makes sense that God says in order to enter heaven, the other world, we also must enter through water. Baptism in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So if we can understand the first birth, it shouldn't be controversial to understand the second birth. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus. Are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? In other words, don't you know that the first birth is through water? In the same fashion, the second birth is also through water. Amen. If I were to take you to the shore of the sea or the ocean, and if we were to gaze out over, you know, the endless expanse of the sea, it is not It's impossible not to marvel at what lies beneath the surface of the water, what lies in the profound depths that hum with unseen life. We cannot begin to imagine the thousands of species of life that live in the water. We cannot see that life with our naked eyes. Sometimes you may see a dolphin, you know, surface above the waters, or a majestic whale. They just give you a little glimpse into the amazing number of species that dwell under the surface of the sea. In fact, scientists tell us that within these uncharted depths of the sea, there are creatures and there are worlds that we haven't even begun to understand. The seas actually have not been charted, the depths of the seas. We don't have the technology to go to the bottom. So in the same way, the waters of salvation, baptism in Jesus' name, hides so many mysteries and realities that we can only access it through faith in the name of Jesus. Water is mysterious, has always been mysterious. In the book of Genesis, in fact, we read, we do not come across a scripture which says, "And God said, let there be water." You will not find it. It doesn't mean that God did not create the waters, because all things were made by him, John 1 verse 3. But for some reason, God did not reveal to us at what point he created the waters. So right there's a mystery in the book of Genesis. But what we see is in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So note, when God began to create, the whole process started with God actually moving across the face of the waters. In other words, without the Spirit of God coming to the waters, there is no creation. There is no new life. Praise God. And it is quite amazing that when God started the process of creation, he actually commanded the waters to bring forth. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. Everyone should underline the scripture in the Bible, because it's really mysterious. Listen to what God said. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Please look at this very carefully. It appears as if God commanded the waters to bring forth birds. Have you ever thought about this? Isn't it very powerful? I know some Christians, when I draw their attention to this scripture, they get shocked. It's like, what? I haven't read this before. How? Didn't God just say, let there be birds? No. He commanded the water to bring forth birds. Think about it. Think about it. There is a power in the water. God can command the water to bring forth new life. Can we say amen? Praise God. He commanded the water, bring forth new life, whales, fish. And now he's telling the water to bring forth abundantly the moving creature that had life. and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven? Hallelujah. Can are you with me? We need to digest this. Please read it carefully. He's telling the waters to bring forth birds. He didn't tell the sky to bring forth birds. He didn't tell the earth. He told the water. So if we were there that day, suddenly you would see from the ocean birds coming out. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. That's powerful. So now, close your eyes with me for a moment and see yourself being baptized in the water in Jesus' name. And then you come out like a bird. You fly to heaven from the water. Isn't that powerful? Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? If God commanded the water to bring forth birds, can he not bring forth a new body for you and me, which flies up to heaven in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Now it's getting exciting. Never preach baptism in Jesus' name only without a revelation. Praise God. Because just as the ocean and the seas are filled with an incredible amount of life, baptism in the waters in Jesus' name is filled with incredible mysteries. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. God commanded the waters to bring forth birds, even not only fish. Life came out of the water. And God has commanded us to meet him in the waters of baptism in order not only for the old body to die, but for a new body to come out. Let me put it this way. Everyone has a gift from God waiting for them in the water. Do you want the gift of God? A new body, the body of Christ that you put on with which you can go to heaven? Go to the water. Your gift is waiting in the water. Praise God. Isn't that a nice way to put it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to understand this is a powerful message. We will not be able to exhaust it, but it's our job, our privilege, praise God, to be able to investigate it. And we will be blessed as we investigate. So something amazing happens in the water. The word of God comes to the water. When God can you all hear me now? Can you? Yes, okay. I don't know what happened, why everything disappeared, but it appears like the recording is restarted. It's a pity because the message will be divided into two, but all glory to the Lord. Let's focus back on the message again. So you see, I was saying that Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, when you read it carefully, there's a mystery in this verse. God tells the waters to bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So there's something with water and life. They go together. God has so ordained it that new life comes forth from the waters. But it needs the word of God to be spoken to the waters. The moment you come to the water and say, in the name of Jesus, something wonderful happens. The water responds with newness of life. Praise Jesus. So it's like magic, so to speak, happens when the name of Jesus touches the waters. New life comes forth. Praise God. Amen. This is what the conversation, the exchange between the Lord Jesus and Nicodemus was about. The Jews have something called the bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah. They baptize a child to signify coming of age in the water, but they don't have the revelation of what this means. And that's why Nicodemus, a rabbi, could not understand that Jesus was commanding baptism in his name. Unless a man is born again of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said, how can this be? How can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? And the Lord said, you know, you're trying to understand things with the natural mind. You can't. It's like the spirit. The spirit comes. It blows where it listed. You don't know where it comes from. So is everyone born of the spirit. We need to have faith when you come to the water. After you've repented, the Bible commands us to be baptized in the name of Jesus. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, they asked Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. Praise God. The man who was with the Lord for 3 years, the man, who had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, the man who said in Acts chapter 15 and verse 7, let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. The Bible says, when there had been much disputing, Peter stood, rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the gospel, the word of the gospel, and believe. So he confirms that Jesus is God and that Jesus commanded him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Are we not the Gentiles? Say yes. So what did the apostle preach to the Gentiles? It says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. No one can say, I don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm baptized in Father and Son and Holy Ghost. No, that is not the command. Jesus commanded that the apostles go and baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And what did they do? They only baptize in the name of Jesus. They never baptize anybody in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Were they disobeying Jesus? No. They knew that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name. Amen. He said, I have come in my Father's name. Praise God. So what is the name of the Father? The name of the Father is Jesus, believe it or not. Praise God. He came in the name of the Father. What is the name of the Holy Ghost? Does the Holy Spirit have a name? Yes. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul tells us that when you received the Spirit, he says, you received the Spirit of the Son. Think about it. Which Spirit did we receive? Galatians 4 says, because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. That's why I'm saying The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. So it makes sense that the apostles only baptize people in the name of Jesus. You will never find an apostle baptizing anybody in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So Christians have a problem when we ask them, why do you baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Why don't you follow what the apostles did? Because Jesus said of the apostles, he who hears you hears me. Amen. Luke 10:16. He who hears you hears me. They are the witnesses of Jesus. Amen. Jesus didn't write anything. They wrote the words of Jesus. Matthew, who wrote Matthew 28:19, was there when Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Why didn't Matthew challenge him and say, excuse me, Peter, I was there. I wrote in Matthew 28:19 that everyone should be baptized, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No, Matthew was quiet. Why? Because Peter is the leader. Peter is the one Jesus chose to preach to the Gentiles. I only give you a scripture, nothing else. Acts 15:7, he said, you know that God chose that by my mouth, the Gentiles will hear the gospel and believe. So when the people ask him, what shall we do? He said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Peter said in Acts 4:12, there is no other name. Somebody say no other name. No other name. Under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. We must be saved in the name of Jesus. There is no other name, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It doesn't save anybody. Come on. We need to retrieve, reclaim the true apostolic message. There are many fathers. There are many sons. There are many Holy Spirits. But there is only one Jesus, one name of God. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Baptism is for salvation. It is commanded by the apostle. We must obey the apostles. We must obey Jesus, who said, he who hears you, hears me. Amen. I've had Christians tell me I would rather hear Jesus, not the apostles. Can you imagine that? That is crazy. Luke 10:16, Jesus says, he that hears you, hears me. Amen. He that despises you, despises me. So he that hears you, can we hear the apostles? Amen. What did the apostles preach? They only knew baptism in Jesus' name. I have an encyclopedia where the guy says, in the beginning, everyone was baptized in the name of Jesus only. But afterwards, after the Council of Nicaea, it became customary to baptize people in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Says what? What do you mean it became customary afterwards? We want to know what the apostles preached. So, Acts 8:16, in Samaria, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Acts 10:48, in Caesarea Philippi with Cornelius, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, which is Jesus. He said it in Acts 2:38. Jesus said, beginning in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, the ends of the earth, follow the gospel in all these places. Everybody was being baptized only in the name of Jesus. Acts 19:5, when Paul met the disciples of John the Baptist in Ephesus, he said, how then were you baptized? They said, in John's baptism. No. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19:5. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Into Jesus Christ. Amen. Galatians 3:27. On and on and on. Everyone is baptized in the only name which can save. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So it's high time we stop debating the name. The name is clear. Peter said it. There is no other name under heaven, among men, by which we must be saved. Father is not a name, that's a title. Son is not a name, that's a title. Let us be saved in the name of Jesus. The water will give you a new body, the body of Jesus, if you use the name of Jesus. If you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, make arrangements to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So coming back to our message, because we can't only preach the power of salvation in the water without speaking about where the power comes from. Whose body are we putting on in water? Water gives birth to a body. Amen. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch stopped and he said, excuse me, just a moment. All this thing you're preaching about a new body in the water, here is water. What is hindering me? I want this new body that you're talking about. Remember, baptism in Jesus' name is for a new body. Hallelujah. Water, I just was showing you, God told the water to bring forth in abundance. What? Bodies, creatures. Water is associated with new life, a new body. In the first birth, when the water breaks, you rush to the hospital, isn't it? Why? Because a body is coming. Amen. Water gives a new body. Praise Jesus. The body that of Christ that we put on. Paul said it to the Galatians. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hallelujah. He said, put off the body of Adam. Put on the body of Christ. This is the meaning of baptism. Baptism is about getting a new body. When you come up out of the water, then you should be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we need to make a distinction. Why does one need to be baptized in the water and receive, be born again of the water and the Spirit? Why? The water is for the flesh, a new body. And Spirit is the Spirit of God, which enters into this new body and renews you, praise God, sanctifies you, hallelujah. So we need both, praise Jesus. We need both. But it begins with water. It begins even before that with repentance, hallelujah. So we need to understand that the message of water is so powerful that even the Lord Jesus, when he began his ministry, as soon as he started it, he headed towards the River Jordan. Amen. To seek God, to love spiritual things, to draw nigh to God, always begins with going to the water, praise God. Hallelujah. So, like I said earlier, Jesus meets us in the water. And that's why he went to the River Jordan, because this is a type and shadow teaching. John the Baptist is a preacher. There's always a preacher who starts everything, isn't it? Who speaks about judgment, who speaks about righteousness, who speaks about forsaking the world, who speaks about getting right with God. And then people are attracted to the preacher. And the preacher is standing and preaching. Where's his pulpit? Literally in the water. He was in the water preaching. What a pulpit. Praise God. And while he's preaching, he's baptizing people. But this baptism is a shadow. It's pointing to the real thing. And while he's preaching and baptizing, Jesus himself begins to come into the water. See, what a beautiful picture of baptism. Jesus comes into the water with us. And the Lord himself gives us a new body in the water. Hallelujah. So that baptism in Matthew 3:16 is a shadow. It's pointing to what's going coming. Amen. So Jesus entered the water. Jesus does not need to be baptized for his sins. There's no, he doesn't have sins. He's God. But he told John the Baptist, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Praise God. But what a beautiful picture. Because all those who love righteousness will come to the water. Amen. Hallelujah. Without a microphone, without a megaphone, without anything. without SMS and internet and advertisement, the whole of Israel came to join. What a beautiful picture that must have been of righteousness. And he was still condemning them. "You vipers," he told the Pharisees. But nobody attacked him. They knew they needed this. Hallelujah. You know, when people truly love God, when they truly are hungry for God, they want real preaching. They don't want a superficial message. Preach it. I need to get right with God. Hallelujah. And Jesus himself came. And this is what happens in baptism. Jesus enters into the water. It is him. The Bible said the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. So it's the Spirit of God bringing new life through the water. But we must meet him in the water. If we don't, nothing happens. Praise God. That's why we love the water. That is why we call ourselves apostolics, because apostolics follow the apostles. And the apostles always commanded everyone everywhere to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of baptism is found throughout the Bible. In years past, I've even written a book, I've preached in depth, but there are so many types and shadows. There was a man called Naaman from Syria, the captain. You know the story. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 10 to 14, a man who was afflicted by one of the most dreaded diseases of the ancient world, leprosy. You know, leprosy works in such a way that you just slowly start to lose feeling. You become numb. Your nerves die. So you could actually just scratch your nose off and not feel anything. It's terrible. And Naaman was totally disfigured by this disease. He was a great warrior. But looking at his body, you would never imagine that this was a great warrior. He may have been a great warrior against human beings. But here was a disease that seemed to be invisible, attacking his nerves, a silent killer. Let me tell you, this is how sinners, the most powerful person you see, there is a silent killer slowly destroying them. It's called sin. Sin is the world's number one silent killer. Praise God. It makes us become numb to the things of God. It makes us become numb to righteousness and holiness. And Naaman realized, to his credit, that he has to do something. His honor, his titles, his military achievements, nothing could help him. He was desperate. And he heard from a young maiden, an Israelite, a young damsel who had been taken captive to Syria, that there is a prophet in Israel. Oh, hallelujah. That means there is the word of God in Israel. So you see, the story of salvation through water baptism in Jesus' name begins with first finding the person who has the word of God, the true word of God, the message of that the apostles preached. Hallelujah. Go find this person. Amen. And Naaman decided to do so. Amen. And he came to Israel. And the prophet sent his word. And he was insulted. Why? Because he thought it's something to do with the way that he wants to see the prophet physically. But you see, we do not need to see anything. We need to believe the word of God. When somebody's preaching, all you need is faith. You don't need to see anything. Hallelujah. Because God is looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And Elisha doesn't want to be famous. He's a man of God. He doesn't care for his reputation. He doesn't want you to take a picture of him and to tell everybody, this is the man who healed me. Because it's not him. It's Jesus. It's his God who healed. Do not rob the glory from Jesus. Hallelujah. So he told him, just go and dip in the river Jordan 7 times. You don't need to do anything. Goodbye. See how good God is. He didn't even tell him, stop doing this, stop doing that, do this, do this, that. No, he just said, go and dip 7 times. You should be okay. He didn't even tell him, go and praise the God of Israel. Go and give this and this many sacrifices. All you need is faith. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't need to know anybody's name. You don't need to see anything. Go and do it. Hallelujah. Just do it. Praise God. But Naaman was arguing. Why? Why doesn't he come? Why doesn't he do some great thing? Thank God. He had a servant from Syria who was a wise man. And he began to convince him. Praise God. He said, listen, master, if this man had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? He's saying, just go and dip in the river Jordan. I know that the rivers of Syria are much better. But the rivers of Syria have not healed you. So why don't you just listen to him? Thank God for those who continue to press home the message that the preacher preached. You know, it was not Elisha who convinced Naaman. It was a Syrian. Who would imagine a Syrian would become the assistant preacher of Elisha? How about that? Hallelujah. You see, God doesn't want anybody to get the glory. Not even Elisha. Elisha didn't convince him. It was the Syrian captain's servant who said, okay, let me take this message of Elisha and break it down. That's why I said, you see, I could preach a message, have the revelation, but I may not be able to convince anyone. But you can be Naaman's assistant, Naaman's servant. You can convince Naaman. Hallelujah. We all need to be the servant of Naaman and say, oh my Lord, if this man would have asked you to do something great, would you not? What a great witness the man was. Let's give this man some credit. Praise God. And Naaman decided to obey him. Okay. I'll do it because you're a Syrian. I trust Syrians more than Israelites. And he went down 7 times in the water. I asked myself, why 7 times? And it hit me. 7 days of creation. Remember the water, what a great role it played in the creation. This man must be patient. He must be humble. He must obey. And then you come to the perfect number of 7 on the 7th day. God rested from his work, praise God. And God rested from his work in healing Naaman, praise. 7 is a number of perfection. It's a number of divinity, praise God. So God was reminding Naaman, 7 days, 6 days he made the world. And on the 7th day he rested, praise God. Remember the God of Israel who created you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember to bless his name. Remember to thank him for what he did for you. The Bible actually says in 2 Kings 5:10 to 14, his flesh was restored like unto the flesh of a little child. Wow. Think about it. I mean, the guy may have had, wrinkled skin. This is something for women to admire, Our sisters, some of them use so much money on skin products, yeah? Facial cream. I hope no Botox or whatever. But you see all these women putting all sorts of creams, trying to make their skin fresh like a child. And Elisha said, dip yourself seven times in the water and you'll have the best skin in the world. Hallelujah. And go and advertise to everybody. And they say, oh, your skin is so smooth. What cream do you use? I use the cream called Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Where can I buy this cream called Jesus? Praise God. Facial product called Jesus. Hallelujah. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. You will get a new body. And that new body never becomes old, never becomes wrinkled. The cells do not die. Hallelujah. It lives forever and ever and ever. Where can I get this body? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Jesus. So Naaman came out of the water. They must have showed him a mirror. And everybody was shocked. They gasped. Maybe some of the other Syrians must have jumped into the water. I want skin like this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just believe in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The water did miracles. The water produces skin like the skin of a child. Do you see? The water gives newness of life. It's associated with new life. Oh, praise God. We are reminded of the Red Sea crossing. What happened there? I've always preached and said the moment Moses stretched forth his scarf over the Red Sea, God said, take your scarf, stretch it over. I like to compare that to saying in baptism, in the name of Jesus, I baptize in the name of Jesus, and the water obeys and it opened itself. Praise God. Water obeys the name of Jesus. And Moses said, the Egyptians whom you have seen until this day, you will see them no more again. What? 430 years? It ends here in the water? That's right. Because water is a place of death and the place of newness of life. Remember this. The old world of Noah disappeared in the water. It's like Noah turned around. He could wave goodbye to all his neighbors, friends, the prime ministers, the presidents, everybody looks at them nicely because you will not see them anymore, Noah. The water is going to separate you from the old world. The ark becomes your coffin, Noah. You will die to the old world. Baptism is a coffin, brothers and sisters, to the old world. I've told people when they are being baptized in Jesus' name, welcome to your own funeral. You will go down in the waters. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go that way. You're saying goodbye to the old world in baptism. That's what the ark represented. You close the door. You're not going to go that way again. No more Egypt. It's finished. I'm off to a new world. And the water came down, and the water separated Noah from the old world. And the water separated the Egyptians from the Israelites. And when the Israelites crossed over and the Egyptians entered, the water destroyed them. Because when you enter into the waters of baptism, God is transporting you to the new world. Praise Jesus. So I want to remind you, all of you who are baptized in Jesus' name, you left the old world. You cannot go back again. Even if they went, try to go back to Egypt, those Egyptians are gone. It's a new Egypt. An Egypt which hates them, wants to kill them. You can't be there. Water separates us permanently. Amen. The moment a person enters the water, it's goodbye to the old world. Amen. If a man be in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When Noah opened the ark, what happened? There's no one from the old world. No one. They're gone, brothers and sisters. When the Israelites came up out of the water and they looked up, they could not see one Egyptian. They're gone. Dead. Water will kill and it should make alive. With the Egyptians, it only killed them. With the people of the days of Noah, it killed them. They could not rise again because they did not believe in the saving power of water in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe in the saving power of water in the name of Jesus? Do you believe it can kill the old nature, the old Adam, and you can rise in the newness of life through Jesus Christ? It requires faith, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know that Moses was separated twice by water? The first time, the water separated him from his people, the Israelites, when he was a baby and put in the ark. But you see, that separation could not be permanent. Water is not there to separate us from the church. Hallelujah. But later, the same Moses, again, the one whose name means drawn from the water or saved by water. We are all Moseses. Amen. He once again entered into the water and he was separated from the Egyptians. That is a permanent separation. Water will never separate us from the people of God. It separates us from the world. It separates us from sin. It separates us from all that which hates God. Praise God. The Bible says, in the days of Noah, 8 souls were saved by water. 8 souls. Water doesn't care whether you are 2 or 3 or 5 or 2 million or 50 million. If you believe that there is salvation in the water in Jesus' name, then water will bless you. Water will save you in the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. 8 souls. But in the days of Moses, about 2 million souls were saved by water. Praise God. So we need to understand that unless we enter into the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus, we are not saved. Praise God. The scriptures are clear. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. For what? For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So where are the sins remitted? Let's look at Acts 2:38. Where are the sins remitted? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. So if you're not baptized in water in the name of Jesus, your sins are not remitted to you. It's here in Acts 2:38. We cannot argue with Peter. It's pointless. Pointless. Amen. So we have to be baptized in the water in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, there is no salvation. If you are baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you only got wet, nothing more. Would a person want to state something other than what the apostles say? You can't. Paul said to the Ephesians, into what then were you baptized? Into what? In other words, into in which name? They said John's baptism. They said, no, that's a baptism of repentance to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, isn't it? So what did he say in Acts 19, verse 5? The Bible says, when they heard this, somebody say, when they heard this, praise God, they were baptized in which name? Look at Acts 19, verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the Apostle Paul. Amen. When they heard this, who are these people? Disciples of John. Remember, they were missionaries. They were missionaries. Praise God. So it's very important, hallelujah, to understand without being baptized in the name of Jesus in the water, you are not saved. You only got wet. This is very important because the scriptures are clear. What about Acts chapter 10, verse 48? Acts chapter 10, verse 48. Peter was preaching in the house of old of Cornelius. What happened? They got the Holy Ghost. Is that enough to be saved? No, because Peter said in Acts 10, 48, Acts 10, 47, can any man forbid water? Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? It's pointless to argue with Peter. It's pointless. If you get the Holy Ghost and you were not baptized in Jesus' name in water, listen to what Peter says here. Verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Peter commanded a commander. I always tell people, Peter commanded a colonizer, a commander, to be baptized in Jesus' name. God is no respecter of persons. Peter is fearless. He would have commanded everybody today, presidents, prime ministers, be baptized in the name. Can any man forbid water? So if somebody says, I don't need to be baptized in Jesus, I don't need water. Well, you're being rebellious against the apostles. It will not be a blessing for you. You will die outside of salvation. Why? Why do you want to preach another gospel? The Apostle Paul said, if any man preaches any other gospel other than the one I preach, he said, you will be cursed. Please don't put a curse on yourself. Peter, Paul, they're all in agreement. They are saying it clearly. I've given the scriptures. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Don't joke with your salvation, whoever you may be. Peter commanded the commander. Can any man forbid water? What does that mean? The Ethiopian eunuch is the highest ranking official in his kingdom, powerful kingdom. And he told Philip, hey, here is water. What is hindering me? Are we going to deny all of this? What Bible are we reading? Because I'm saying there are people who think without water, they're not saved. I think you need to read the Bible again. And we are here to command you, not to discuss with you, to command you. Be baptized in Jesus' name or you are not saved. You are playing with the word of God. So may God help us to obey. And I include you, risen, with all due respect. If you are not baptized in Jesus' name, you are not saved. And you will not go to heaven. You need to obey the apostles. Stop preaching a false gospel. It's not from God. Baptism is in the name of Jesus. I just gave you a whole Bible study now. This is not a room where you can preach something else. We all know the scriptures. We know baptism is in the name of Jesus. We believe this for over 30 years. And we've searched the Bible very carefully. So this salvation that you raise up your hand and baptize people in the Trinity, it's a false doctrine. It's a lie. Don't send people to hell. The Bible is saying there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Isaiah 9:6 says, the Son who is born is called the Everlasting Father. So you need to start acknowledging that the name of the Son, the name of the Father is Jesus. Nobody is baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nobody is baptized, risen. Nobody. Can you give me one person? I will send you $100 personally. Nobody is baptized. Why do you think nobody is baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Because the apostles understood that is not the name of Jesus. It's not they knew that the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost is Jesus. Otherwise, why will they baptize in the name of Jesus? So many times, every time they baptize in the name of Jesus. So what are you going to say? They disobeyed Jesus? Come on. This is a dogma. This is a brainwashing that you Trinitarians have adopted and are confusing people today, especially people from Muslim backgrounds who, like me, who met only Jesus. We read the Bible. We understand Jesus is the only God. Why do you create, multiply gods? Why do you change the message of salvation? You will have blood on your hands eternally. I beg you in the name of Jesus, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Obey Peter. Nobody is greater than Peter. Definitely not you. Humble yourself. Let God deliver you from a false doctrine. Because salvation is only in the name of Jesus. There is no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as three persons. Doesn't exist. It's been a lie perpetrated by the Greeks. It came from Greece, not from Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Have you not read that he which made them in the beginning, he? Why will you kick against the pricks? How long will you fight the one God? You will never win. He won on Mount Carmel. He won on every mountain, on Mount Sinai. You cannot win against the one God, Jesus. Stop preaching a false doctrine. Preach the true doctrine. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Because by doing so, you will save yourself and those who hear you. So risen, I challenge you in Jesus' name. Save yourself first. Be baptized in Jesus' name. I will baptize you in Jesus' name. No problem. But first, get rid of this false doctrine. You keep repeating Matthew 28:19. I'm asking you, why didn't the apostles obey Matthew 28:19? Why? What's your answer? Has the Bible been changed? Are you going to speak like the Muslims? No. When you see that the apostles, Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 10:48, Acts 19:5, everywhere they baptize only in the name of Jesus. Even Paul told the Corinthians, I did not baptize any of you in my name. Baptism is in a name. But you decided to just ignore the apostles. We will never do that. This room is a one God. Be baptized in Jesus' room. Amen. We don't teach any other doctrine. And I would even request our sister, if anybody's preaching another doctrine here, please block them. Because this is not a room for false doctrine. We preach the truth, but we cannot at the same time have somebody going around with us and shouting, these are servants of the Most High God, telling you, because either you are with this one God doctrine or you're not with us. Amen. So please, that's why I tell people, be careful what messages are being put in the room, because the devil sends people to confuse us here. We don't want that. We don't like Trinity. We don't believe in it. We don't want it spread over here in Jesus' name. So please respect that reason. If you want to come, hear the word of God, by all means. But don't put, that's why I say we need to be careful what scriptures, what is being put up here, because these things grab people's attention. I was watching these messages. Please, we need to have some discipline. Maybe Sister Amanot can help us to find a way in the chat room. We should have a rule about who can post, what can be posting, because people can be confused and the message can be confusing. But it's okay to record what I'm recording, because we want the word of God to be clear. Amen. The Bible records arguments between the apostles, false doctrine, this. It should be clear. We are making it clear. There is no Trinity. It's a false doctrine. Anybody baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you are not saved. Obey the apostles or you're in trouble. I hope my voice is very clear. I say it with love, but I speak like the Apostle Paul, because he said, if anyone preach any other gospel other than the one you receive from us, let him be accursed. These are strong words. What gospel did the apostles preach? I started by saying, he who hears you hears me, Jesus said. There are too many people, I'm afraid, especially in the West, with big egos and big opinions. Why don't you fear God? It was the West and the Greeks who corrupted the message of the apostles. I said, oh, they were with Jesus, they're Jews, they spoke the language of Jesus, but we know better. 300 years later, they know what Jesus told the apostles better than the apostles. So they come up with the doctrine of Trinity. What? And say, no, you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. There is no other, Peter said, there is no other name under heaven. But they said, no, there is. It's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do you see the problem? Please, let's condemn that which came out of Greece in Jesus' name. And let's go back to what was given to the people to whom Jesus came. God came to them. The people to whom he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The people to whom, of whom Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. Let's hear these Jewish apostles. Let's ignore these Greek and European philosophers and their confusion, because they didn't give us salvation. They just gave us confusion. And I could talk about my PhD. I studied under Alistair McGrath, probably the world's greatest theologian, from Oxford, 15 years head of department, theology. He told me, yeah, you're right. There's no Trinity. It came later. So I don't want to speak about theology, but we know enough to know this is not from God. It is a false doctrine. We need to get rid of this thing. Bury it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give it back to Greece. Hallelujah. Let us stand with this truth. This truth saves people. Anything which does not save people, we should fight it in Jesus' name. So otherwise, it's a Trojan horse which comes and confuses the people. So my battle is not with anyone, not with you, Risen, but it's against this false doctrine. I've been an enemy of it for 35 years. So it's not something new that I'm fighting. Wherever I find it, I have to challenge it. So this is not from God. It's from Greece. It's from the Roman world, Greek world. Give it back to them. We thank God. Let's come back to the message and conclude with these words. Let us say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Amen. For us, there is only one God. He cannot be divided. Amen. When we say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we are speaking about the same God. The Son in him is the Father. Praise God. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when we say Jesus, we are speaking about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as one person. We cannot divide them. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is this God who was manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3, whose name is Jesus. So now, if you use any other name other than Jesus, which means Jehovah has become our Savior, you are provoking God. You are provoking God. Because you are believing that another name can save. Trinitarians say, yes, the name of Jesus saves. So why do you baptize in Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Why? It's hypocrisy. It's a paradox. Can you explain to me which name saves? Is it Father, Son, Holy Ghost or the name of Jesus? It cannot be both. It's the name of Jesus which saves. There is no other name. Peter said it, under heaven, among men by which we must be saved. This is the name of salvation. Any other name, we don't use it. We don't believe it saves. So when we repent in the name of Jesus. When we are baptized in the water, we call upon the only name under heaven amongst men which saves. Even the water will not respect any other name. No newness of life will come. And then when the person rises up from the water, we say, listen, now you must call upon the name of Jesus to receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come in my name. I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. Who is the Holy Ghost? Jesus himself. We proved it from Galatians 4:6. You receive the Spirit of the Son. I asked a Trinitarian, which Spirit did you receive? He said, the Holy Ghost. I said, is that Jesus? He said, no. Really? So when I showed him Galatians 4:6, he became confused. So are there two spirits, he said. No, because Ephesians 4:4 says there is only one spirit. So I told him, decide, which spirit did you receive? Confusion. Please, let's stop this confusion. There is only one God. He has one spirit. He has one body. He has one name. Jesus. It's sufficient when you call on that name. You have God, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega with you. The one who said all power belongs to him. So if he has all power, why will you call on another name? A Trinity. What is this Trinity? It is the biggest enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. In that day, there shall be one Lord. Zechariah 14, verse 9. His name shall be one. See, in that day, there shall be one Lord. How many gods are coming for the millennium? One God. He said it in Zechariah 12, verse 10. They shall see me, whom they have pierced. Who is Jehovah? It starts by saying Jehovah will come. Then he says, they will see me, whom they have pierced. We pierced Jehovah. Jehovah's coming back. But his name is Jesus. The world will see Jehovah and they will realize he is Jesus. In that day, there shall be one Lord. His name shall be one. Praise God. This is the pure doctrine of God. The devils, when they hear this, they tremble. James 2:19. Believest thou there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Oh, hallelujah. We will be zealous for this one God. We will love him with all our heart, mind, and soul. It's salvation. Because he trusts us. He said, you are my witnesses. Isaiah 43:10. Before me, there was no God. After me, there shall be no God. Beside me, there is no Savior. Is there a God beside me? There is none. I know not any. God denies knowledge of other gods. You know this, but we have to repeat it. We have to bless it because we are having people in our midst with other doctrines. They have to know. This church, this minister, we never joke. We will speak very clearly, very distinctly, with no fear or favor of anybody. Amen. Our friend is only the truth. We only want people to give themselves to this truth. That is all that matters. Jesus bless you. Thank you for allowing me to speak this way. It is for the truth. The Bible says to contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. That's our job. For this purpose, we are ordained. May Jesus bless you. We love everyone, but we love the truth more than everything. Hallelujah. Let's pray in Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this truth. We were talking today about salvation. And salvation cannot be salvation without your name. And we've spent much time now towards the end to lift up the name of Jesus. At the expense of every other name, we deny any other name except the name of Jesus. We thank you that you've given us this name. We thank you for the privilege of being ministers, witnesses of this one true name, the only saving name. We pray that you open the eyes of those who don't have this revelation. We pray that you allow the scales to fall from their eyes, like the Apostle Paul, to see that the God whom he was persecuting was Jesus. He was the only God that he saw, the only God. And he said, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead body. I thank you for the mystery of water. I thank you for the new body that you've given us in water. I thank you for the message of the waters of salvation in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the privilege of contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I bless your name today, Jesus. I pray that wherever this message is heard, people will be challenged. I pray that falsehood will be vanquished and people will rush to the waters to be baptized in the name of that one true God, the only one who saves and gives us his body in the waters of salvation, Jesus of Nazareth. We esteem that name above every name. We bless you today. We bow before you. We worship you. We thank you for every blessing. All of this we commit into your hands. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church says amen, amen, amen. Jesus bless you. I yield the mic to Brother Simon. Jesus bless, and may God strengthen you in the truth, use you as a witness until we meet.